Reading from Sri Bhajan Rahasyam by Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot. I believe that we're on verse 12, is it right? I guess we must review it again for verse 11. So where this is Panchavayam Sadhana, continuing our classes from last year, which it appears that they'll also continue next year. This is the discussion on Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam, how to do bhajan, how to do nam bhajan, chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and proceed on the path of bhakti, to progress on the path of bhakti from anartha nivritti to nishta to ruchi to asakti bhava and prema, which is the goal of all of us, to attain Krishna prema, the prema seva of Radha Govinda and Vrindavan and the groves of Vrindavan, Nikunja seva. And wherever we are situated, we have to go forward. That means progress. From sadhu sangha, we have to come to bhajanakriya, and bhajanakriya will lead us ultimately to prema, and we'll pass through different steps in our progress of bhakti. As our faith increases, our surrender increases. As our faith and surrender increase, our attachment to Krishna increases. As our attachment to Krishna increases, our taste and devotion increases, and our love for the Lord increases. So this particular chapter on bhajan is called Panchmayam Sadhana, because for a Jatarati Sadhaka, a practitioner, a devotee who has actually bhava has taken birth in his heart, has appeared there. That means rati. Rati means bhava. For one at the level of rati or bhava, he will meditate on this Panchmayam. Panchmayam means the Apurvan Leela, where Radha and Krishna, or let's say Krishna is coming back from Gocharan Leela in the evening time, and they'll meditate on that Leela while they're chanting Maha Mantra. But for those who are not on the level of bhava, then they're called Ajata Rati Sadhaka. Ajata means ajanma, without birth. It has not happened. They are not on the level of bhava bhakti. They are on the level of sadhana bhakti, which has two divisions, Vaidhi sadhana and Raghunuga sadhana. So therefore, there are eight steps to perfection, eight levels of nam bhajan. So this is the fifth level of nam bhajan, which the practitioner is, this level is actually right before bhava bhakti. Before one is actually, let's say, attains bhava bhakti or receives the bhava from the eternal associates of the Lord, his heart becomes surcharged with the sentiments and feelings of the eternal associates of the Lord, and then his heart becomes illuminated with his bhava bhakti, this topmost form of devotion. He must become extremely attached to the Lord. That's called asakti. Asakti means attachment. And that attachment grows from the time we're initiated to the time we attain prema. Our attachment for Radha and Krishna are growing and growing and growing. So this fifth level of bhajan is based on one shloka from Shikshastakam, which is the fifth shloka. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavambudo kripaya tava parapankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. As you know, this verse is being spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the very end of his life, in the last 6 years of his life, when he was absorbed in Radha Bhav. Radha Bhav means that Krishna came to this world to experience the love of Radharani. What does she feel? What does she think? What does she experience when she loves me, when she serves me, and when she receives my love? So in this intense mood of separation from Krishna, intense mood of Mahabhav, in the Gambira, which means deep, Gambira means deep, in the Gambira, in Jagannath Puri and Kashi Mishra's house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing intense ecstasies of love. So in the mood of Radharani, Radha calling out for Krishna, Radharani said, "Hey Nanda Nandan, listen, look at me, I'm separated from you. I'm so much separated. I'm so far, far away from you. I cannot see you. All around me, all I see is water. All I see is water. I'm surrounded by water. I'm in the middle of the ocean. It's the ocean of samsara, bhavasagar. And this is called material existence. I'm drowning over here. This is bhavambudi. Bhava ambudi. Ambudi means ocean. And bhava means material existence. Samsara chakra. Janma mrityu dravyadi dukkha doshana darshanam. I'm drowning. I can't see anybody. I can't see any land. I can't see any humans. I can't see any life. In every direction I see nothing but water, north, south, east, and west. This is what it means if you're dropped in the middle of the ocean. There's water in all directions. And it's very, and all, and below me, what's underneath me? Crocodiles, alligators, sharks, stingrays, poisonous creatures of all sorts are inside the ocean. And above me is the burning sun, burning my head. And so my position is very perilous and very, very dangerous. So Nanda Nandan, O son of Nanda, O Nanda Nandan, this is my predicament. This is my situation. I'm in great urgency. Please pick me up. Please save me, because I cannot save myself. I am helpless. I am helpless and utterly hopeless to save myself. So that this is the kind of consciousness that's required. This is the kind of background that's required for one to become attached to Krishna. Now we're attached to money. We're attached to our body. We're attached to our families. We're attached to our nation. We're attached to our position. We're attached to our knowledge, education. And all these things give us strength. They give us security. But it's all false. It's false security. It's durashray. It's called bad shelter, false shelter. But we think it's quite good. And because we're attached to all these things, that prevents us from having Krishna asakti, to being attached to Krishna. But just imagine, as they say, there's a phrase in English, there are no atheists in a foxhole. A foxhole, during World War II, they were throwing bombs here and there. So the soldiers would dig a hole in the ground, and they put a bunch of sandbags around it, like the police do sometimes in Delhi. They pile up all these sandbags, and they stand behind the sandbags with a gun. In case the terrorists shoot them, the bullet will get stuck in the sandbags. You must have seen all these bags of sand. So it's a protection. So they dig these holes, and they put sandbags all around, and the bombs are going. That's called a foxhole. It's a little hole. It's not for foxes. It's for human beings. But they say there's no atheist in a foxhole. So all the soldiers are sitting and dig out these trenches, and they sit there and wait till all the bombs fall, and then they try to run and attack the enemy. So when everybody's in that hole, they're thinking they're going to die in any second if a bomb lands on their head. So everybody's praying, "Oh God, please save me." So in times of distress, or in times of death, death is on our head, then we become very religious. Everyone becomes very religious. Oh God, oh God. So that, because then we finally realize at that time of peril or danger, we realize that the only shelter is God. So this type of realization, the more one has this realization that my only shelter is God, and the more one realizes that he's actually helpless, utterly helpless in this world, the sooner he can become attached to Krishna. Firstly, Krishna's holy name, then Rup, Gun, and Leela. So here, Radharani's trying to teach us, at least Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us at one level. There's so many levels in this Shikshastakam. But for the sadhaka, this is the level we can take. That yes, I must come to the realization that I am also drowning in an ocean of suffering. I'm not enjoying, I'm suffering. And all around me is water. And I don't see anyone in sight who can save me. There's no boat, there's no lifeguard, there's no island, there's no land, there's no helicopter, there's nothing. I don't see anything around me. So what do I do? Oh God, please save me. Right? Get me out of here. Pick me up. Put me on dry land. I'm dying. I can't survive anymore. So this is the mood. This is the bhav. This is the mood behind the sakti. So Radharani is saying, I am stuck. I am drowning in this ocean of suffering, birth and death. Oh Krishna, oh Nanda Nanda, please pick me up. And do what with me? Save me. How will I be saved? By any service connection with you, I will be saved. So if anyone has a service connection with Krishna, he's saved from birth and death. Mahato chayate bayat. Right? Chayate mahato bayat. It says, Neha bikrama nashasti. Pratyavayo navidite swapamapyasya dharmasya chayate mahotobhayat. Any kind of service connection, even a swapamapyasya dharmasya. Swapamapyasya dharmasya means the slightest, tiniest, most insignificant service connection with God will what? Save you from the greatest fear. Mahabhaya. Mahabhaya. Chayate means deliver, save. So then, that's what Radharani's saying. I'm not asking for a big post. I'm not asking to be Minister of Treasury or Railroad Minister. I'm not asking to be CM or PM. I'm not asking to be DM or whatever it's called, General Manager, GM, or MD, Managing Director. What do I want? I want to be insignificant, stita duli sadrisham vichintya. This is my consideration, vichintya. Give me some consideration, give me some thought, and keep me fixed. We're in a place where you can't even see me. Give me a post in the government where you can't even see me. Right? I don't even want to be your doorman, because if I'm your doorman, you'll see me every day when you come in the office. I don't want to be your chauffeur, because you'll see me every day when you ride in the car. I want to be far, far removed, but just some service connection, the slightest service connection, I'm happy with that. Then I know I'm saved. Then I have nothing more to ask. So where do I want to be? I want to be under your feet as a speck of dust. Your feet, when do you look at your bottom of your feet? Never. They're always on the ground, moving. But so Lord Chaitanya, or Radharani, in her mood of praying to Krishna, she's not saying, keep me on your wrist as a bangle, keep me on your finger as a ring, keep me on your neck as a necklace, keep me on your head as a pagri or mukut. No, keep me on your foot. Bottom of your foot is a speck of dust. So this is the mood that when one realizes that actually all I really need in this world is some connection with Krishna, some service connection with Krishna. I don't need anything else. This is the only attachment I need is this. I have to have the service connection. Because if you have service connection, any service and any position to render to Krishna, that means you will be attached to Krishna. Because service attaches us to Krishna. No service, no attachment. So that's why this verse is about asakti. Attachment. That's like the basic, the sambandha aspect. But then, what in this development, because asakti is leading to bhav. Bhav is leading to prem. So at this point, in the presentation of Rahasyam and Bhajan, the secrets of Bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to prepare us for the next level. Because every level we're on is preparing us for the next level. Bhajan is preparing us for Nishta. Of course, Bhajan is throughout. Nishta is preparing us for Ruchi. Ruchi is preparing us for Asakti. So this discussion is leading to prem. Adoshara tata sarva sangha bhajana kriya narta nivriti tata nishta tata ruchi asakti bhavan prema. So prema has a specific expression. It's not just generic like aspirin or painkillers. What kind of painkiller? That's generic, means non-specific. Prema is very specific. When we say, yes, my goal, what is the goal? Prema pamartha mahan. What is the prayojan? What is the necessity? Well, my goal is Krishna prem. Okay, that's nice. What kind of prem? What do you mean, what kind of prem? Prem is prem. Krishna prem. I mean, Krishna prem. Everyone told me Krishna prem. No, but prem means seva. Prem means love. Love means service. What kind of service? Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, whatever the temple commander asked me. Clean the toilets, cut the vegetables, serve the food, drive the truck, fix the car, you know, whatever. Sell the books, marathon, this, that, the other thing. Prema is very specific. It's called rati. That level is called rati. Madhura rati, sakhi rati, vatsalya rati, dasya rati. There's four divisions of prema. So then one will serve the Lord in a particular way. It's very specific. Like someone says they love, oh, I love my family. But you love your wife in one way, you love your children another way, you love your mother in another way. Children, wife, children, mother, all different ways, different expressions, different bhavas, different sevas, different ways that you're showing that. So similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is a book about bhajan, and the purpose of bhajan is to, of course, bhajan is eternally eternal, ultimately. The purpose of bhajan is to come to prema. And as far as the rahasyam, or the secrets that are being taught in bhajan rahasyam, is to prepare one to develop one's attachment to Radha and Krishna, then specifically to Radharani, in the mood of a manjari. Because the sakti attachment to Radha and Krishna, that the secrets of this book, is to prepare one to receive gopi bhav. Because after a sakti comes bhav, and then prema. So this chapter, practically the entire chapter, this fifth level of nam bhajan, is preparing one for gopi deha, which means sharir. Is preparing one to receive siddhadeya in gopi bhav, or siddhadeya madhurya bhav, as a nitya siddhat, let's say, a pransaki of Srimati Radharani. Before one gets body, he must have the bhav. No bhav, no body. It's not possible. Because bhav gives, everywhere it's told, that if you want to get a body, you have to have a bhav. Like Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, Krishna is telling, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajit nyanti kalevram. We get our, when we have adjusted, when we set up our bhav, then we get the body. So Krishna is saying, whatever your bhav is, when you leave this body, whatever your mind and heart are absorbed in, whatever natural liking you have, whatever your liking and taste shapes around, that body you get next time. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyachat yanti kalevaram. So whatever bhav you have at the time of death, whatever you remember, that's what you get. So whatever you're remembering throughout your life, whatever bhav you have, for example, a man throughout his life, he's thinking of his wife, or his daughter, or his daughter-in-law, or some woman. That's called stribhav. Stribhav. He has a bhav for a woman, and so much liking for a woman, and so much attraction for a woman, and so much interest in a woman. He likes the way they look, the way they talk, the way they smell, this, that, everything. So then his mind takes a shape around that. Stribhav. That bhav. So his mind takes a shape, thinking, feeling, willing. So next life, he must become woman. He gets rupam of woman. This is how it works. Change of body. Right? You've heard of change of body? So this is it. Bhav determines. In 11th canto also, the insect was caught by the worm was caught by the insect. And the worm was just thinking of the insect. Oh, he's going to kill me. And he looks like this, and he looks like that. And he was just absorbed. It's in 11th canto. He's explaining the same point, how we get the next body by our meditation, by our absorption. So this worm, it was caught in a hole by the wasp, by the insect, who was going to eat him. He was just looking, just totally, mentally, totally absorbed in the form of his predator. His enemy, the insect, the wasp, you know, like a bee type. And then he didn't think of anything else. He didn't think of his mother worm, or his wife worm, or any other worms in his family. He forgot all about his baby worms and children worms. He was just totally absorbed because of Bayam. He was totally absorbed in the wasp. Just like out of Bayam, Kamsa was totally absorbed in the form of Krishna. He was totally absorbed, although he was so offensive. But at the same time, because he was absorbed, his mental absorption in Krishna purified him from his offenses, so therefore he got liberated, as told in the commentaries. This intense absorption. But Venu, King Venu, was also very much envious and angry towards God. But he was not; his mind was not absorbed in the God, so he went to hell. There's a difference between Venu and Kamsa. So this absorbs, of course, this isn't the example. Yes, we should hate God and absorb our mind in hating God. No, it's trying to show the principle that absorption of the mind. So if our mind is absorbed, then that's whatever our mind is absorbed in, that's what body we get. Because the worm forgot everything about his babyhood worm life, or about his when he was in school as a worm, about his college days as a worm, about his marriage with his mother, you know, wife worm. He forgot all the worms. And he's totally, second to second, out of intense fear, he's going to eat me. This insect's going to eat me. His mind became super saturated with thoughts of the wasp, with the form of the wasp. And next life, he got the body of a wasp. This is the fact. This is the science of changing body. So therefore, this same principle works changing into the spiritual body, receiving siddhadeya. At the upper level of ruchi, one begins to get some idea, dawning, or inclination of what is his sthayi bhav, what is his permanent loving relationship with Krishna. Am I Krishna's friend? Am I Krishna's gopi, sakhi? Am I Krishna's mother, father? Am I Krishna's servant? What is my eternal relationship? This starts to dawn at the upper level of Ruchi and is fully revealed at the level of Bhava. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining here, he's commenting on this, the whole verse, this fifth level of bhajan, the level of a sakti, and non-bhajan, which will help bring one to a sakti and increase one's attachment to Krishna, is based on understanding one word from Shikshastakam, number 5. Ai nanda tanushik kinkaram. Kinkaram. Kinkara means servant. Kim karomi, what may I do? But kinkara is masculine and kinkari is feminine. So because Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself is in Gopi Bhav, that is his Stai Bhav, Madhura Rati, or Bhavalas Rati, that is his permanent loving relationship with Krishna, in Mudava Mantri, a Sakhi of Radharani, maidservant, he is presenting what he's realized, what he knows, what he follows. So he's presenting this bhajan, this Mantri Sarup bhajan, the bhajan to attain Mantri Sarup. So one cannot realize or attain the form of a gopi mantri without having the bhav, gopi bhav. So this whole, what is gopi bhav? What is sakya bhav? What is vatsalya bhav? It is all based on the principle of kinkara. Kinkara means seva, means service, that I am a servant. And of course, this is the beginning, this is the beginning, the middle, and the end of Krishna consciousness, is this principle of seva, seva bhav. Das, 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 anodas. Jivara Surupaya Krishna Nityadas. This is the fundamental nature of the jiva, the seva, service. So this verse, as we've been discussing now, of course you're just coming, but this is continual class. Each one of these verses, now we're on verse 12, and there's 16, 18, maybe 20 verses. They're all zeroing in on this concept of kinkari. Kinkari, of course, is feminine. Kinkari Bhav, what is the mood of the maidservants? Kinkari means maidservant or handmaiden. The maidservants of Srimati Radharani. What is their actual bhav? What is their actual feeling? What is the sentiments they have? The attitude they have? The mentality they have? This is all to do with bhav. So when one hears about this, he studies this, he prays to these mandris who have come into this world, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most intimate mandri gopi maid servants of Srimati Radharani have come to this material world 500 years ago. And they've appeared in this world as Rupa Raghunath, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, like this. And they have given so many teachings, they've given many, many teachings to help all of us realize what they have. So this is verse 12, and this discusses how to develop nishta, or firmness, and you can say determination or firmness or concentrated mood, and this idea of Radha Dasyam, of becoming the eternal servant or eternal maidservant of Srimati Radharani. One note I wanted to read, but oh, I think I read this. Yeah, I read that already. Okay, we'll read this verse. This is by Prabhananda Saraswati. This is called Radha Rasa Nidhi. Durarapasya swajanan sukamartha kotim sarveshu sarana vareshu chiram nirasha varshantam eva sahajad bhuta sokyadaram shri radhika charana reina maham smarami. It's interesting that Prabhupada Saraswati, he's saying, I will remember the dust, Sri Radhika charana reinam, the dust of Radharani's feet. Rainam, Stita Duli Sadrisham. The translation. The desire for the pleasure received from relationships with family and friends. The desire to attain the four goals of life, dharma, art, kama, and moksha, and the desire for countless unlimited wealth and so forth, are all the causes of anarthas. Knowing this, I abandon them all. I worship the foot dust of Sri Radha, which showers natural, wonderful happiness, and I always hold this foot dust upon my head. So this is the revelation of Prabodhananda Saraswati. And there's some commentary here. They're saying that desires for wealth and the happiness of relatives and family, these are impediments for remembering the dust of Radhika's feet. Therefore, they are worthy of being rejected. Pure vairagya, or renunciation, is actually a natural distaste for material matters and a taste for the dust of Radha's lotus feet. So these are, see in the verse he's telling, these are symptoms of pure vairagya. In Gaudiya Sampradaya, everywhere in yoga practice, the principle of vairagya or detachment is there. Whether one is performing Gyan Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. So here there are two elements of what we call, or what Acharya is called, Shuddha or Shuddh Vairagya, pure detachment. Pure detachment is based on two things. One thing is a natural distaste. You lose your taste for material matters and a taste for Radha's feet, or a taste for serving the feet of Radharani. And when it says a taste for the dust of Radharani's feet, it doesn't mean you go around licking Radharani's feet, taking the dust off her feet, like you taste ice cream or you taste sweet rice or something. It means the inclination to serve her lotus feet. You have a natural desire, an inclination, liking, to hear about Radharani, to speak about Radharani, to read about Radharani, to remember Radharani. This is a taste. And then a natural distaste. Sadhakas who possess exclusive faith in Sri Radha are called Radha Nishta. They are solely attached to the fragrance of her feet, lotus feet. Without Sri Radha, they do not even have a taste for Sri Krishna. This book is called Rahasyam, Bhajan Rahasyam. Rahasyam means secret. So this is the secret. This is called the Krishna Consciousness Movement. The purpose of Krishna consciousness, when you become conscious of Krishna, then you become conscious that if you really want to please Him, you have to please Radharani. So outwardly we're saying Krishna consciousness movement, but inwardly we're saying the goal of Krishna consciousness is Radha consciousness. And everywhere we say, we should serve Krishna, you should serve Krishna. Yes, we serve Krishna, so we realize that we should serve Radharani. This is actually Gaudiya Vedanta. Because otherwise, there's no difference between Gaudiya Vedanta and the Sri Vaishnavas or the Ramanandis or anyone else, because they all have the principle of Krishna Seva. They're all serving Vishnu or Narayan or Ram. Ram Seva, Ram Das, Krishna Das, Narayan Das. All the South Indian Vaishnavas, the entirety of South India, the entirety of North India. Everywhere in India, North India, they're Ram Bhaktas. And everywhere in South India, they're either mostly Narayan or Vishnu Bhaktas and some Ram Bhaktas. But there's no one that's a Shakta. No one is worshipping Shakti. A Gaudiya Vedanta is this. It's actually worship of Radharani. It's called Radhadasyam. This is the Rahasyam. Because everyone thinks, Radharani? What's that? Who's that? I never heard of this. So that's why it's secret. It's not because Krishna is keeping Radharani in his heart. And before you can find out someone's heart, first you have to find out them. First you have to meet someone. You have to get to know them. Serve them, associate with them. Then they may tell you about their heart. What are they thinking of? What are they hiding? What are they treasuring in their heart? So first we approach Krishna. And we serve Him. We chant His name. And we think of everything in terms of Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then when we get a little bit understanding of Krishna, Krishna says, listen, I'm going to tell you a secret. Do you know you're so busy serving me, but do you know who I serve? Do you know whose feet I massage? Do you know who I make? You're making garlands for me, but do you know who I string garlands for? Do you know whose feet I paint? Do you know whose hair I brush? Radharani. And if you want to make me happy, if you love me, love my dog. We say in English, if you love me, love my dog. So if you love me, love my children. Oh, I don't care for your children, I like you. No. So Krishna will say, actually, if you want to really please me, then please my devotee. This is very clear. It's told in so many circumstances, in so many places in Puran, Krishna's telling, over and over again. In Adi Puran, Krishna tells Arjuna, he who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. But he who says he's a devotee of my devotee, I accept as my devotee. So Krishna is saying, Krishna says, he who serves my devotee. So who's the greatest devotee of Krishna? Who is the greatest devotee of Krishna? Huh? Radharani. So if we serve Radharani, then how much Krishna is pleased? And what did Prabhupada's father, every day he was serving guests in his house. Vaishnavas were visiting his house. Not only Vaishnavas, but sadhus also. Different types of sadhus were visiting Mr. Gaurmohan Day in Calcutta. And then he was asking, oh, sadhu, please give your ashavad. Please give your blessing to my little boy. His name is Abhay. Acha. What do you want? You want to have him do good in school? Blessings for become an acer? You want him to do good in school? You want him to get a beautiful wife? You want him to be very rich, which is usually what people ask blessings for. You want him to be very healthy? No, I don't want anything like that. Please bless my son that he becomes a pure devotee of Radharani. This is in Prabhupada's Lilamrita. You can all read, of course. So, certainly, Prabhupada didn't need their blessings. He was rather blessing them by giving them a chance to serve him. Prabhupada was giving them a chance to serve a pure devotee by putting their hands on his head, because when you touch the body of a pure devotee, you become purified. So they would all bless him and say, yes, Abhay. They would put their hands on his head to give ashirvad and say, yes, you become a pure devotee. And so when they touched his head, then all those sadhus and saints became purified. This is really what was happening. So certainly, Prabhupada, being one with his guru, who is Nayanamani Manjari, he certainly must also be a Manjari, as we mentioned, because everything is arranged by the Lord. If you're meant to propagate Sakyabhav or Sakyaras, if your Staibhav is Sakyaras, then when you come into this world, you will take initiation and you will come, generally, you'll come under the shelter, especially if you're a let's say, Nityasiddha coming for a particular purpose. Everything will be coherent, or consistent rather. Everything will be consistent. So if you're meant to propagate Sakyaras, then you'll take birth and you'll manifest your Staibhav right from the beginning. Your Staibhav is eternal. And if someone is a Nityasiddha, that Staibhav is eternal. So as soon as you're born, you'll start manifesting your Staibhav. Staibhav means your permanent relationship with Krishna. And moreover, that's when you're born. Then when you grow up, if you take initiation or diksha, your Staibhav will direct you to a particular parampara. So if your Staibhav is Sakyaras, then you'll be directed by your own Staibhav or by Krishna's in the heart. You'll be directed to take diksha in a parampara of Sakyaras. So we see that Prabhupada, he has taken initiation in a parampara of Sakis and Manjaris. So it's very clear in so many very crucial points. And because his Staibhav is Madhura Rati, from the beginning of his life, he was worshipping Radha Govinda. So sometimes people try to say Prabhupada's in Sakyaras. It doesn't work. You can't find proper scriptural support to establish a statement. That's another point. But at any rate, I like that point. Because there's a lot of sometimes speculations about this, but everything should be based on Shastra and the actual points. someone said something when he's rubbing Prabhupada's feet, or something. You know, they have all these. They cite so and so said that Prabhupada said. And we have to look at the whole thing, the guru line, the guru parampara line, the father, the everything together. Then you can see. So the purport goes on here. Material happiness seems insignificant to any sadhaka who has a taste for serving Radharani's feet. Anyone who has firm attachment to Radha's lotus feet, they're not inclined to any other spiritual goal or any other practice to attain it. All they want to do is worship the dust to the feet of Radharani. Even other exalted sadhanas are obstacles on the path of Prema Bhakti. So here in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, 6, chapter 13 and 14, Punyanyay Sukhiradham Tarana Latunam Punya Mukti Dvityagi Kari Prema Bhakti Sura Nidhi Tahe Duba Niravadi Arajata Shara Nidhi Prai. This word Nidhi means ocean or treasure. Although piety is the abode of material happiness, in other words, if someone is very religious, then he'll be rewarded with material happiness. Do not strive for it. Rather, give up the desire for religiousness and piety, as well as the desire for liberation. Loving devotional service is an ocean of nectar. Always be immersed in it. Prema Bhakti Sudha Nidhi Duba Niravadi. So this is Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya is saying that don't do anything else but engage in Prem Bhajan. Pious activities, liberation, and so forth are like piles of ashes to a devotee on the stage of Prem. How can a devotee who persistently desires to submerge himself in the nectarine ocean of loving devotional service and whose bee-like heart is attracted by the fragrance of Radha's foot dust, which is full of immaculate ras, go anywhere else? In this verse, Prabhupada Saraswati, he's using this term, Varshantam eva sahaj adbhuta sokyam dharam. He's saying that there's a one adbhuta sokyam, that if someone dharam, if someone holds the foot dust of Radharani on his head, then he experiences an adbhuta sokyam, an incredible, inconceivable and wonderful type of happiness. And that's described here. After receiving happiness from a supremely excellent object, how can one become attracted by some trifling pleasure? Compared to the happiness of Brahmananda, or merging in Brahman, the happiness of Bhajanananda, is a greater source of bliss. That ecstasy is indescribable. The most condensed nature of Bhajanananda is Premananda, but it is beyond words to express the nature of Premananda. It is a stage that can only be realized. The prema of the gopis, when distressed in separation, crosses beyond the ultimate limit of Anand and attains a state that cannot be expressed in words. From the dust to the lotus feet of the crest jewel of all gopis, Sri Radha, a stream of indescribable happiness continuously flows towards the sadhaka who remembers her. This stream of Anand, composed of pure sweetness, devoid of even a scent of Aishwarya Gyan, is natural and filled with wonderful astonishment. That's what adbhuta means, astonishing. This is the meaning of adbhuta sokyadhara. So this verse is supposed to increase one's yearning or hankering to attain the service of Radharani in the pastimes of Vrindavan. And this is actually the heartfelt desire of Gaudiya Vaishnavas in their topmost sadhana. Sadhana smarana lila ihate nakarahila kaya man kariya susara. The sadhana at this stage is to remember Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Do not neglect this. This is the most essential endeavor of your body and mind. So this is, of course, these are instructions that are coming from Bhaktivinoda Thakur to cultivate this level of asakti in Nam Bhajan. Because the level of asakti is quite easy for one to remember Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Because one has great taste. One has already developed great taste for hearing about Krishna. And along with that taste, he develops a great desire to serve Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Of course, this can only be imagined by someone who doesn't have the taste, who doesn't have the desire. So for a neophyte or a new devotee, this is a very high topic or high subject, because this is the fifth level of bhajan. There's eight levels of bhajan, this is the fifth. So if we're in the fifth standard in school, and some college professor comes in and starts telling about college classes, we'll say, wow, what is this? I'm on fifth standard in school, now I'm hearing about the 14th or 16th standard, college level. This is too much high for me, too much difficult. That may be there. But this is where we're going. This is the actual goal. This is the actual sadhya, is to come to this level where our nam, our chanting of nam, is full of asakti, full of attachment. So if we have some idea of the direction where we're going, then we can get there. So this, for some, this description of asakti at bhajan is to set our sights on the goal. What is the destination? What are we shooting for? What are we trying to attain? So this is actually the goal. The goal is the service of Radharani, basically, for the most part. And so that service depends on attachment. That service depends on being more attached to the service, that goal of attaining Radharani's service depends on becoming fully attached to her and detached from everything else. Sri Radhika Charana Raina Aham Swarami. So we read this prayer by Prabhupada Saraswati, then we respond to it by saying, oh, I don't have any kind of attachment like this. I don't have any kind of attraction like this. This is phenomenal. This prayer itself is adbhuta. This shloka is adbhuta shloka. So now how do I respond to it? What do I do? What does it mean for me? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what it means for us is that we should pray to Prabhupada Saraswati, that who has given this verse, that what his mood is, what his attachment is, what his realization is, that comes to us, that we can receive this mood, this attitude, this level of attachment that he has for Radharani. We don't have it, but we should yearn to have it. We don't have it, but we should want to have it. So he has it. So someone has something that you want to get, then one way to get it is by begging them. And one way to get it in this case is to serve it, to read these verses along with chanting of Nam. This is the process of bhajan he's giving. We chant the Maha Mantra, we study this verse, we see the content of this verse, then we see how far away we are from the position of this verse or what's being discussed in this verse, and then we pray that we quickly come to this standard, that we come to this level. Because this is the desirable object, is this. Because we may not know what is a desirable object. We're not even clear. We're not really clear where we're going. Oh, we're just going from day to day. I go to Mangalartik, I chant, I serve, I go out and book distribution. Where am I really going? I don't know. What I really want to attain? I don't know. I want to attain lunch. I want prasadam. Well, this is called focus. Focus in bhajan. Focus in our practice. So, this is very important, this verse, all these verses, and the way this book is actually utilized, just as a review, is that whatever level one is on, one stays on that particular level of bhajan. If one is in Nartanivirti, then he reads the second, it's called Dvitiyam Sarana. The second chapter, and he studies those verses, and he reads those verses, he meditates, and he prays at that level, that he can overcome his anarthas and come to the level of nishtha. And then he just stays in that chapter over and over and over. He studies those verses and the purports and commentaries, even memorizes them in many cases, and prays for revelation and realization from each one of those verses. And in that revelation, in that realization that comes, from that chapter and from those verses, one becomes steady, develops nishtha and bhajan. But the other chapters we can read just so we know where we're going, like coming attractions. We read the entire book, Bhajan Rahasyam, and we get some idea, oh, this is where I'm going. So we can take those ideas from the later stages, the ideas of asakti, the ideas of prema, the ideas of ruchi, and we can bring those down to where we are and mix them in with our bhajan. Yes, this is what I want. Although I'm far from asakti, I have so many anarthas, but this is what I want. I want to go in this direction. And then you can go very high and very quickly forward. So this is a basic way this book is presented. Is there any questions or comments on this point? Anything? Mohan?
Stage of the asakti. Stage of asakti. One swarup. The service also begins, or only begins on the stage of bhava?
And it's even meditating on different services that mandris are doing, that can be thinking of them, reading about them, desiring to attain such services. That can be done even on the level of anartha nivritti if one has greed. You can actually begin rag bhakti at that level. But generally, this type of rag, a little bit of rag will appear at nishta. Generally, it's said like this, that one becomes quite free from most major anarthas and becomes at the level of nishta. One starts to feel attraction, something. So as far as specific seva that one may render, seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi, said in Nectar Devotion. We'll be doing seva in our sadhaka roop, like Rupa Goswami, like Raghunath Das Goswami. But at the level of bhava, when one receives, by mercy of Guru, one receives siddhadeya. And with siddhadeya, he'll be given seva also. And then when one does meditation or thinks of pastimes, then he'll render his particular service and any other number of services according to the pastime. But he'll also be given a specific seva, which he cherishes more than anything. He has like mamata, great feeling of possession for that seva. But that mandri will do any number of services depending on the dictates of the pastime that he may be meditating on. So until that time, at the level of asakti, one will read different books describing the sevas of the mandris, and he will pray and aspire to also attain similar services like that, and to have the adhikar, the qualification to render services like that, brushing Radharani's hair, or massaging her feet, or carrying messages between Radha and Krishna, or assisting her in cooking or bathing. So many services are there, mandris render. Rupa Goswami and Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, he's listed 16 different major services that Sakhi mandris render. Carrying messages, arranging for the meeting of Radha and Krishna, taking Radharani's side in a quarrel, and so many things are there. Helping and bathing, helping and dressing. So one can think in a general way about these things or pray for these things. But specifically, rendering service, that will come when siddhadeya is there at the level of bhava. I have some notes on this verse. And these verses that are being presented by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, such as number 33 from Radharasuta Nidhi, these are verses Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us, these are the verses that I remember when I chant the holy name. Because this is what happened. He was chanting the holy name and meditating on Shikshastakam and how to understand the Shikshastakam and how to go deeper into the meaning of it and attain the different levels of bhakti that are desirable for any sincere sadhaka who wants to progress. And these verses would manifest in his heart. And he wrote them down in a notebook, and that became Bhajan Rahasyam. First of all, it was his personal bhajan notebook, which was practically the last book he wrote. He He wrote Bhajan Rahasyam in 1902, and he went into Samadhi in 1904 until 1908, something like 4 years, in this Bhakti Kuti in Puri. So he said, these are the verses I remember when I chant the holy name. And if you chant these verses, you will also get so many realizations, and you will develop deep attachment for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So the whole idea is asakti. So if we chant these verses and we meditate in these verses, this will give us asakti. At the level of asakti, when one comes to asakti, then you'll have these natural moods, natural feelings will arise in the heart. And if one wants to come to the level of asakti, then he'll chant the holy name along with reviewing these verses and praying these verses, then we will get the realizations about these verses. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying in relation to this. In the absence of the dust of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, one remembers it. And we might say, where is the dust? I don't see Radharani. I don't see Radharani. I don't see Radharani's feet. How can I get her dust? So we don't have it, so we remember it. This means, what does this mean? To remember the dust of Radharani's feet. It means to intensely hanker to attain service and various types of service. Always hankering to render a particular service to Radha and Krishna. So what this means is we read about the different services of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das and Vishwanath, which they reveal in their books like Vilap Kusumanjali, Pratana, and Sankalpa Kalpadrum. They're revealing services that they render as mandris, and then we think, oh, these services are so sweet and so wonderful. I'm also hankering, I'm also yearning for the day when I can fan Radharani with a chamara. And this type of siddhi lalasa, hankering for some perfectional stage, Prabhupada, he gave us this type of hankering, this type of siddhi lalasa, in the Vaishnava songbook. It's such a deep song. Radha Krishna pranamor jugala kishor, right? Jivanai marane gati aro nahiko. The Sham Gori Angi Digo Chandanera Ganda. Sham Gori Ange Debo Chandanera Ganda. O Sham Gori, O Krishna, O Radharani, when will I, in my Manjari Sarup, when will I take Chandan, I will grind some very beautiful, fragrant Malayan Chandan, and I will apply it on your body, your Anga, on your neck, on your forehead, on your arms, on your chest. When will I do that? Chamara Dulabo. And when will I fan you with a chamara? This is a very high meditation. This is beginning. This is what's given in the songbook. Because this song sets our sights on the goal. This is the prayojan. This is the destination. This is Radhadasyam. But people don't, they just sing it. They don't see what the deepness is. So when we read songs like that, or shlokas, similar shlokas, where different devotees like Narottam are revealing the services that they do in their siddhadeya, then we also pray. This is what it means to serve the dust of Radhika's feet. Sri Radhika, Sri Dharana Sri Radhika Charana Renu, to hold the dust of Radharani's feet on our head. So we don't have that. We're not seeing. We're not having Sakshat Darshan of Radharani. We can't literally hold the dust of her feet on her head and walk behind her in the footpaths of Vrindavan. Prem Gali, Man Gali, Dan Gali, all these different footpaths. So in the absence of that, then one remembers it, which means he intensely hankers to attain seva, different types of seva, always hankering to render different services. This type of feeling arises at the level of asakti. By the fifth verse, by the time one rises to the fifth verse of Shikshastakam, this type of mood will come in one. As we do bhajan, nam bhajan, and follow the verses of Shikshastakam along with the verses given by Bhajan Rahasyam, which is elaboration and continuation and deepening of the understanding of Chaitanya Shikshastakam, our bhajan will come to this level of asakti. This is the essence of Vrindavan. This is what Vrindavan means, to remember the dust of the lotus feet of Radha. Leave aside all other attachments of the material world, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur is feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. If we remember this verse while we're chanting the holy name, we will feel more and more nishtha in bhajan. So this is some note we had. Anything else?